This is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I was thinking there for a moment, pause with the silence when we mics lit up. I'm glad to be back. Hey, James.
Hey, Gregory. I have some good news here. Good news. Fewer Americans are having coronavirus-related mortgage payment problems in the last couple of weeks. So this is a report from Fox Business that says the share of homeowners with that forbearance plans actually peaked and is starting to tick down. That seems a little soon, doesn't it? Like, oh, we have 40 million people unemployed. Are some of them already getting their job back?
I think that process has already started. So you're going to see a shift. You may not show it up, but I think you're going to see applicants for unemployment start reducing, meaning how many there are. I don't think it's going to stop yet, but we've already seen that trend reduce. I think that's going to continue. But on the other side, when the data start, you know, we see some data about right now, you're going to also see jobs being picked back up because things are opening back up, except in some states, and we won't mention any names, but some are just wanting to hold out for some reason.
A couple more stats.
Please.
The majority of people who requested forbearance plans may not have needed to. Only 5% of homeowners that were approved for a forbearance said they would not have been able to meet their obligations otherwise. This is the data from LendingTree. But it was one of those better safe than sorrys. If they're offering it, you might as well take it, because if you need it, you'll be glad you took it. But only
put it off because they could.
An abundance of caution. You know,
Okay. I'm put off the mortgage for 2 months. That's $1,200 a month. Okay. Now I'm 24 ahead. They not worried about the math on the back end, or that they've shorted their escrow account. That's going to be needed to be paid up. So you're not really 2,400 ahead.
Very true. Can't blame them for the abundance of caution, though.
But that might have helped them shore up some other things, getting some stimulus money for the household. You know, that'd be like 2,400. You know, one child, they're at 2,900. So two house payments not have to be paid. Economic impact payments, they're up like $5,000 in the other direction.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like a touchdown taken off the board and one put on the other direction quickly.
It's like, you know, a pick six.
Yeah, right. That's a nice little turnaround right there for a lot of people. That can help. And even if they maybe weren't out of work, or if they were, then the unemployment plus the federal bonus probably helped as well. So, you know, look, and this is looking more of a positive side of things, that maybe with what was done, there's a lot of people in pretty good shape.
Just 5% are very glad they did it. If you told me there was a 5% chance my plane was going to crash, I'd put on a parachute. Is that too tough of a metaphor?
If they're handing them out saying, hey, it's not looking good, we're going to hand out parachutes, you're going to take one.
Yeah, it better to have one and not use it.
So it's not this, nah, nothing's going to happen, I'm good.
I'm not going to wear a helmet. All right, I brought back a scenario. I went and visited the family in Bug Tussle. You know, we're from the middle of nowhere. Half my family's in Bug Tussle. The other half's in Hooterville.
Horsetown?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll call him Fred. And Fred's talking to me because I'm not related to him. Family friend, though. 64 and a half. He's walking into Medicare age. That's exactly what you think of when you hear someone 64 and a half, right? At this point. So we're going to end up at the questions here. The final questions are going to be, when should Fred start Medicare? And then which parts does he need to start? Part A, part B? He doesn't even know what the D and all that stuff is. But let me give you the scenario.
But he's not working.
Okay. So Fred is still working. Fred plans on working to at least 70, maybe past that. Hopes to max out Social Security because there's no pension. 401k got decimated by dipping. A couple of instances we don't have to talk about. But he does still have his health insurance in the meantime through work. So what part of Medicare does he have to turn on at 65 if he's still working and has insurance?
A.
Okay.
If not B.
Can you give Fred like the basics on what he needs to know walking into this, or you got to pull up one of the worksheets?
Well, it's pretty easy. There is a sign up window when he leaves the firm. there, and he should sign up for A, it doesn't cost anything. His work is still his primary there. He'll need to sign up for B, and D, he has a window, believe it's 6 months. I don't know why you would wait any period of time. If you've left your work, you go and sign up immediately. But there is a window. And if you don't fit into that window, then you can't sign up and you have to wait to the open enrollment at the beginning of the year. And for B, that's a different time than D. You've made it really complicated. Just if you leave an employer and leave their health plan, the next day you should be signing up for Part B and D. You already have A. I think that's easy. Let's not worry about the window. Just do it the next week. Do it within 30 days. Do it within 7 days. I don't understand why we have people miss that window. And then you've got to decide with the part, the uncovered portion, do you go and opt into the government's program or pick up a Medicare supplement there? And you go to Medicare.gov, and it's just a abundance of information that you can go through. However, you probably should, honestly, this isn't like the price goes up or somebody's trying to do you wrong, because all the information's available and it's shoppable, and we show people how to do it. But get professional help to do this. This isn't something you've got to go, well, it'll cost me more if I get a licensed insurance agent to do it. No, get one that works in that field to help you. It's not complicated and it's not going to cost you anymore. And if you don't believe it, go to Medicare.gov. All the choices are there. Get professional help on making the decision.
All right. About 6 months away from the birthday, December's his birthday. Is that 6 months, 7 months?
It's easy for him because he's not leaving work in 6 months.
Right. So he can start filling out the paperwork. What is it? 3 months shy of his birthday.
Yeah.
That's when his window starts. And I told him the second that starts up, go ahead and start filling out the paperwork. That way, if there's any problems, you get it resolved. You don't miss it.
Yeah. But it's so easy for him because he's still working for his employer. This is a situation where it may be different. He said, yeah, I'm turning 65. I'm telling him to take this job and give it to somebody else. You thought I was going to say something else.
I take this job and
no, give it to somebody else. So, but this isn't that story. He's still working and has coverage. So it's real easy for him. He's not under any timeline, really, so to speak.
I've noticed people seem to know more about when they plan on turning on Social Security than they know about what to do when it's time to start Medicare.
You're probably right, because it's talked about so much more. Everybody talks about it. I talk about Social Security all the time.
I know why I'm more interested in it, because Social Security pays me a check. Medicare is going to take money away from me, so I'm not going to be real enthusiastic about signing up for that. Even though I know you get coverage and you get something in return, it's not the same as them sending you a check, is it?
And something interesting, we've never talked about it this way. Now, signing up for Medicare and you're not getting Social Security benefits, you need to sign up to get Medicare Part A, which is the hospital insurance, and Part B, the medical insurance. You will not get Medicare automatically. Now, if you already get benefits from Social Security, you'll get Medicare Part A and Part B automatically when you're eligible, and you don't need to sign up. Medicare will send you a welcome Medicare packet 3 months before you turn 65. That's a big help for everyone. You'll still have other important deadline and actions to take, so read all the materials in the packet. So Part A and Part B, you'll be automatically signed up for. Now, if you want drug coverage, you can join a separate Medicare prescription drug plan, Part D, to help pay your out-of-pocket costs in original Medicare, like your 20% coinsurance. You can also shop for and buy supplemental coverage, like a Medicare supplement there. Now, it's important that you sign up for Part D. You know, some people, I've heard this, that, well, you know, I'm in good health. I don't need any drugs. Don't like no drugs. Don't want to buy drugs. Okay. They don't want to sign up for it because there's another premium to Medicare. It's not much, but there's a Part D premium. But if you sign up later, guess what has happened? There's a penalty for signing up later, and it stays with you from now on. So you want to think twice about skipping that. So, well, but I don't need anything, so why do I have to pay the premium? Well, because they're going to increase your premium, and it's permanently increased thereafter. Then we've got one other part. Okay, you talk about Medicare supplement, and that's to pay for the uncoverage portion of that. See, if you don't get, now once again, and I'm going to cover it, look, I've got some notes here. If you don't get Part D or Medigap policy when you're first eligible, you may have to pay more to get this coverage later. So that's kind of what so it's kind of a lifetime penalty. Medicare Advantage, an all-in-one alternative to the original Medicare. This basically is bundled plans of A, B, and D. Most plans offer extra benefits that original Medicare doesn't cover, like vision, hearing, dental, and more. Plans may have lower out-of-pocket costs than original Medicare. In most cases, you'll need to use doctors who are in the plan's network. So that's a lot of information there on helping Fred.
Fred.
Or is it John?
It's Fred. They're all Fred. Fred.
They're all Fred.
Is Medicare, I know this sounds novice, but just while we're doing things that haven't been asked before, any effect on the windfall elimination provision? Any cut in on that?
No, but that Part B premium is correlated to your income. So there is a table that they have. And if you make more income in retirement, they're going to charge you more.
It just feels like they would have some sort of equivalent of that on this. So if you have like a retirement plan that where your health care is covered from a government job, then maybe they wouldn't let you double dip by getting into Medicare. That's kind of what I had in mind when I was asking that.
Well, there are more rules to that. Military has a program as well, and there might be some government. So there is some overlaps, but here's the thing is one's going to supersede the other. They're both not paying.
Gotcha. All right. So here's Donald Trump talking about it today. I had to do a little bit of research before I brought this to the table, Gregory. He said this, and I immediately went to my search engine.
We approved a record number of generics and reversed the trend of soaring drug prices for the first time in over 50 years. First time we've ever had prices go down.
About time.
That was absolutely true. I hadn't heard that reported all year. 2019 was the first time since 1973 drug prices went down. And in 1973, they went down by 0.2%. So it was almost a statistical nil. But this one, it was about a solid 1% drop year over year on drug prices and 9 out of the last 10 months. So it's kind of continuing the trend so far into 2020. And he said he did it by going generic, approving generics. How rare is it we get good news like that spending goes down on anything healthcare related? First time it's happened since I've been born.
Well, that's good news.
Okay, so we have a little more info on that. Your Medicare Part D premiums went down because what do they cover?
Drugs.
Yeah, those drugs that are cheaper now.
Average basic Part D premiums dropped 13.5%, the lowest level in 7 years. And we're going down very substantially from that level.
Never heard of this before, Gregory. This is a first in the history of the show. In about 2 weeks, we will have been doing this for 10 years. First time we had a drop in the drug prices, and that I remember, a drop in the Medicare Part D premiums.
I've not heard of that before.
Strange times we're living in. Good news, though. He has a little more info here on how people are taking advantage of Medicare Advantage.
Average Medicare Advantage premiums have plummeted 28% to the lowest level in over a decade. And that's despite everything that's been happening, which would normally make things go up. And we have more than, 1,200 more Medicare Advantage plans today than we did, think of that, 2 years ago.
How cool is this, Gregory? Now, this makes me think of right before we went on the break there for the long weekend, you were bringing up some news that was kind of tough about the paltry cost of living increase expected for Social Security coming up. And the expectation was, oh, well, that's just going to be wiped out by premiums. Well, maybe it won't.
Well, we need to have an increase to begin with. So I don't know that we get that COLA type increase this year for next year.
All right. And another little side effect of the coronavirus reaction is the expansion in telehealth. Now, we all saw this coming. You and I predicted it. But these numbers are huge right here. And this is one of the things that's going to stick. And this is one of the, I don't want to say silver linings because that's overused, but one of the good things that come out of this, it definitely sped up the technology huge.
We expanded telehealth, which has really turned out to be a very hot subject, right? People that never thought about it, people that didn't like the idea, right, Tracy? They're loving telehealth. It's speedy and it's a lot less expensive. We expanded telehealth for Medicare beneficiaries, and the number of patients using it has increased from roughly 11,000 a week to nearly 1.3 million. So we went from 11,000 people to 1.3 million people a week.
All right. That's like a 1,000% increase, 10,000% increase. It went up by a factor of 100.
So we didn't have telehealth 3 months ago?
I guess not like this. Part of it was they had to lift the restrictions on it. There were certain things that if a doctor is going to prescribe you something or going to do an exam or make a conclusion, he has to be in the same room as you. They relaxed some of that.
Really? That's the only way it could be done. It couldn't be a phone call.
I always thought these rules were silly to begin with. I'm right with you on mocking them. I'm right with you on.
Yeah. I'm not so sure it was held to that degree. I bet. Your situation, phone call, said, yeah, I'll call that in for you. When I spoke to the doctor and I'm really sick and I need something, but I can't get in or they can't see me and they get me what I need, I never got a bill for that phone call conversation. And I probably should have. I received help. I wouldn't have had a problem with it, but I never did. But the telehealth is, we're going to send you a link. Can you click on it and let's talk online? And I bet you I know what's coming with that telehealth meeting. Now there's a bill because it's approved.
Oh, I see.
It probably will increase physicians' revenues.
Okay, what's with the good news on the cars? Is that because the Memorial Day driving season was such a disappointment? I don't understand why Ford's up almost 6%, Chrysler's up 6%. Ford was up 3.5%. GM's up 5.5%. Chrysler's up 6%. What the heck? Cause I saw bad news on the Memorial Day driving season. In fact, I saw Memorial Day fewer people drove this weekend than drove the previous weekend. And I don't mean last year. I mean, 10 days ago.
You're saying it was down?
Yes. Saw the report on Fox Business this morning. AAA said fewer miles were driven over Memorial Day weekend than the weekend before that.
Interesting. And just, I don't know. I'm kind of stunned by that. I was on the road both Sunday and Monday, but not for vacation purposes. I decided on Sunday to go over to my Gulfport office and just check on things and do a little bit of looking around at real estate because there's an expansion we're thinking of doing over there. And I just went looking around. I felt traffic was up a little bit, especially in the afternoon when I headed back to New Orleans. So that was kind of my sense about it. But maybe could it be because maybe the truckers said, hey, let's take a break. Maybe, could it have been the truckers that were... I didn't seem to see as many big rigs then, of course, Monday, I headed down to Thibodaux to check on some things.
You did a lot of driving. You were trying to bring that average up on your
own. It was more of my wife needed to go down there and meet up with her mom. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, you want me to drive you? She's, I would love that. I was like, it's been a while since I ran that highway, and it to me is kind of like, okay, I get to go up, take a ride and look around. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it, and traffic wasn't bad, but I don't know. I can't get into the psyche of that. I had no interest in heading over to beaches or go someplace for the purpose. Oh, it's Memorial Day. Let me, I was more on staycay there. So I had different reasons to get on the road for a few hours each day.
Well, I think this speaks to where Memorial Day ranks on its tightness as a family visiting holiday. Memorial Day is supposed to be sort of more this internal, just remember the guys that fought and died and gave us this opportunity we have to live this amazing life we have. And it's not like Thanksgiving, like let's get together with the family, or Christmas. We got to get together with the family and exchange gifts. You know what? If we're not going to be going on vacations or the resort or a beach or a lake or anything, we're going to be laying low. Let's just do it here. And if I have to take one trip, maybe I'll make it for the 4th of July. You know, I'm not going to, I'll miss Memorial Day before I miss Christmas. It's, I guess, kind of the hierarchy I'm explaining.
Yeah. I don't know. I did a stint with the military, and I don't know. It's just is a touching holiday, Memorial Day, when you think about those people that made that commitment to go into the military and serve. And I don't think they go into it. You know, if everybody thought into it, well, I might as well, you know, just assume I'm not going to survive this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. That's not how they go into it. They go into it knowing, you know, there is some risk because you're in the military, but they don't go there to die. But some of them make the ultimate sacrifice. And over our history, our past, gosh, 70 years, been a lot of that, a lot of that. And that's just taken out the 70 years, not all that's been given to position us on the planet as a country and who we are and all the privileges. But I just think about that when they were kind of talking about some of, you know, this copter crash and this ambush and this mission didn't go well. And there's so many of those, and it's just like, gosh. And then the family. So it's a touching holiday.
Gregory, I have a killer 25 seconds of audio from Charles Payne. You ready for this? He's bringing to you a survey of how people regretted how their investments performed in this last downturn. I mean, understandably so. It was pretty brutal.
I saw this great survey on regret. It made me think maybe we should rename this the Frank Sinatra Rally, because 45% of investors say they have no regret on how they've handled this coronavirus wild roller coaster of a ride. But 23% regret not having a diversified portfolio. 19% said they had too risky of investments. And 13% said they had too much of their savings in the stock market.
Did you catch all those
numbers?
What
was the very last one?
Okay. It was, put it right here.
And 13% said they had too much of their savings in the stock market.
Too much in the market. Too much in stocks.
Too much in the market.
This sounds like it's just set up for you, doesn't it? All right. So here's the rundown.
Okay.
45% of investors, no regrets at all. They're happy with the way it performed. 23% were wish they had diversified more. 19% said they had taken on too much risk, 13% too much in stocks.
Well, that all kind of connects to stocks. Risk is stocks, too much in stocks is stocks. And what was the first
one? Diversified.
Yeah, they once again, they had too much in stocks.
Wild roller coaster of a ride.
If you add
but
those,
23% regret not having a diversified portfolio.
Not having a diversified
portfolio. So does that kind of make up 100%, all those? Is that what we're trying to get at? Because when you add up those three we spoke of, not diversified, too much in stocks, too much risk. That's a lot of people, a lot of percentages there bundled up.
That's exactly 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So half the people had too much correlation to stocks, over half.
Well, only 13% seemed to realize too much connection to stocks, but you're right. That's what the rest of these is. Safe to assume that's what the rest of these are.
You know, that's why you hear me talk about blending, getting balance. You can be overweighted to stocks. It's just having too much stocks. And I think, and I'm going to give you a phrase, and we're going to talk about this more in the future as well, is sequence of returns. From a long-term standpoint, volatility, I think too many people underestimate, and it might also be don't understand sequence of return risk, and that is having negative years in your portfolio over the years can be truly damaging, especially when you're taking income out there. And once again, I think you need to have balance, and that's why I talk about the 50-50 strategy. that we utilize to create the proper blending. I love the upside of the market. I love upside of stocks. Everybody does, but it really hits them and it's good. And you forgot there was a downside because of the 10-year plus bull run. And then all of a sudden reality sets in. Yeah, this thing can go down. Even while Trump's president, it can go down. It can go down where even when we have 3.5% unemployment, we've got the best economy ever. And yeah, it could still go down. This time it was because of a pandemic, something just, let's see, before the March downturn took place, 90 days before, nobody was thinking the market was going to go down 30%. How about 60 days before was anybody thinking about the market going to go 30 days? No, but all of a sudden it happened. Next thing you know, you're waiting for it to stop and it's down 30%. So that's why, you know, I was in a meeting today and they were asking me what, you know, and I get this question because people know what I do. And it's just how has business been? How has this going for you? I bet it's been pretty tough for you. And actually I say, you know what? Things have gone pretty good. I'd say, you know, has this overall affected, they'll say, has this affected your company? I'll say, look, just to be real here, everybody's been affected in some way. But I said, we're money managers. From that standpoint, we did really well. Why? We were prepared for this. We've been getting ready for this. And we did a few things tactically that helped minimize that also. And we really did good. And I was happy about that. But from a blending standpoint, to get the right balance, it is an initiative that and focus that we had been doing for 9 months of making sure and emphasizing to people, especially clients and new people coming on board, this is what you're needing to do and going through that. And gosh, it made a big difference. So yeah. And I would say, what was the slow part? You know, cause people at home and they got to do the video meeting and phone call probably slowed us on new assets coming over, new clients coming on board. That slowed some, but from a taking care of money standpoint, I'm really pleased. And obviously I believe clients are very happy also from that standpoint.
The guy that feels like he needs more diversity, what do you recommend he does?
I'm going to be call my office and we will help you with that. You've got to have a risk number to see. Part of this is, what is your risk number? And most everybody probably needs to do that again. Or if you've never done it, you should at least talk to our office about that. And I don't mean for this to be a commercial of my firm, but you need to get an updated risk number. What does that mean? It's your tolerance for downside movement and of the market. And I think people, you know, were this mindset, this thing just is going to keep going up, and didn't really worry. Cause there was a conversation a few months ago, James, and you've heard me talk about this. She said, you know, it's like your risk number says, but you shouldn't have so much in equities and stocks. And she said, well, yeah, I'm fine with that. I just don't want it to go down. And I looked at her and I said, but you know, it will go down. Yeah, but I don't want it to. Okay. Well, we have to reduce, you see the conversation there. Now I think there's a different perspective and a reason to get that. And that helps you get to how you should be diversified.
Well,
in asset classes. It's not meaning, well, I should have more stocks. No, you should be index linked anyhow. You should be connected to hundreds and hundreds of stocks through indexing. But what you should have is the proper asset classes. Not everything be correlated to stocks.
You know, I hear when people gripe about they should have been more diversified. That tells me there's a good chance they had a whole bunch of money in one stock and they got burned.
Or they had a whole bunch of money in stocks.
And they got burned by a few. All right, you're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. If you're looking for the services of a financial advisor, you might want to start your search with my buddy over here. GregoryRicks.com is his website, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Rickson Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Rickson Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Rickson Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.